Due to recent events, the scheduled edition of the Colchester Arts Centre podcast has been cancelled. In its place is the one that would have gone out instead.
Lieutenant.
Hello, boss. I'm in Anthony Roberts' back garden now.
Make sure he doesn't see you.
Yes, I'm hiding carefully right at the bottom in his vegetable patch. And I'm wearing a camouflage jacket and a woolly hat.
Can you see him through your binoculars?
I think so, boss. There's definitely someone moving around downstairs.
Right. Now, can you see it?
See what?
The BAFTA that the Colchester Arts Centre won for its podcasts, which Anthony kept for himself and has never let us even hold.
Oh, yes. I can see it on the mantelpiece.
Right. So you remember the plan?
I think so.
Look, it's very straightforward. You wait until Anthony is asleep, you get the BAFTA without waking him, and we don't let him have it back until he's paid us the fees for all the podcasts which he promised us, but which we've never received.
Okay, boss.
Right then. Do it.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
What are you doing in my vegetable patch? And at this time of night? Alone, in the dark?
Well,
I've come to join you. I saw you from my bedroom window. What are we doing?
Well, I'm on a stakeout, spying on you, actually. Then I'm going to break in later when you're asleep and steal your podcast BAFTA.
Oh, so do you want me to get the podcast BAFTA and bring it down here?
No, look. You're not meant to know what's going on, so I can take it and make you pay to get it back. If you just hand it to me, I'm not stealing it, am I? And it's not a mystery, because you know that I've got it and, well, it just doesn't work, does it? You're acting like a cowboy cop with blatant disregard for proper procedure.
Sometimes you have to bend the rules, rough up the suspects, moon at your supervisors, and shred the constitution to get stuff done. Ooh, by the way, I've got some chocolate spread sandwiches, some bananas, and some cans of fizzy orange.
Look, while I'm generally more well-intentioned than you, more deconstructive work by the audience will eventually show that we have equal scorn for necessary regulations. But on a stakeout, we should only eat pizza and drink coffee.
I may be typically hot-blooded and passionate about my maverick antics, but my unlikely claims will generally be proven correct by the end of this sketch.
Look, Anthony, the rules of a stakeout are that we start snacking. We run out of food, so one character is sent to get more, and we always complain about the food.
Can I have a code name? A randomly assigned alias that protects my identity yet fulfills conventions in a credible, non-ironic manner?
No, you can't, Anthony. Now, here's the binoculars. Keep watching your house to see what you're doing and tell me when you go upstairs to bed.
Can I have your banana? I wouldn't want to waste it.
Welcome to the Colchester Arts Centre podcast. And this is episode 8, the BAFTA podcast.
Hello. Now, I'm from the Arts Centre. We're shut. No one's coming in. So, if you can't come to us, then we bring the art to you.
Hooray!
My name is Paul, and I'm a member of the Vinyl Sessions Collective. The Vinyl Sessions is a collectively run Sunday lunchtime event. We host 8 sessions each year at the Arts Centre, each one featuring a notable album that we play in full on vinyl through the Arts Centre's PA. It started life in October 2012 when the Arts Centre established a vinyl listening group called Classic Album Club, with Anthony hosting Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart. It continued in this format for 2 years, but eventually became less viable for it to keep running, what with the issues of manning the door, setting up the tech, and getting Mick the Hippie to prepare his famous chili. A core group of regulars got together and approached Anthony, asking what we could do to help keep it going. We'd loved the relaxed atmosphere and the experience of sharing and discovering great music with like-minded obsessives. In typically supportive fashion, Anthony suggested that we harness our passion and take it on ourselves. We rechristened the event as the Vinyl Sessions and relaunched in March 2015 with a huge Dark Side of the Moon session. Being a collective means we try to rotate tasks around the group, although some of us specialise in one role more than others. The only job we don't do on the day is running the bar. Most importantly, everyone has an equal say when it comes to choosing the featured albums. A typical session starts at about 12 p.m, giving people a bit of time to grab a drink, order a bowl of chili, and get settled before we start the album playback around 12:30. The host will often write a handout as a primer for the album, and they'll give a short speech explaining the impact it's had on them and why they think it's worth sharing. We follow each album with a loose discussion, sharing initial impressions for those hearing it for the first time, or listening to stories from the mega fans who already know and love it. We always round off the event with the Dead Wax sessions. Here we throw the decks open for people to play a 7-inch single for the group. It can be for any reason, sometimes it's a carefully thought out response to the featured album, or it could be something recently heard that they want to share, and not necessarily because they love it. It's fascinating to hear the variety of stuff that people bring in, and to see how the audience reacts to it. To create our album shortlist, we invite people to suggest albums that they'd like to hear, and preferably ones they'd be happy to talk about in front of the group. Regardless of what you might think about an album, having a passionate presenter always makes for a good session. We've now got a huge list of suggestions to choose from, although we're always looking for more. And some are more viable than others, and a few will never see the light of day. We try to loosely shape each season of 8 albums. Sometimes it follows a set idea, like featuring albums made by women in sessions hosted by women, or it can just be about finding albums that feel like a good fit together while still having some musical variety. We each have different ways of defining a great album. Often it's something that feels of a piece, with all of the tracks complementing each other. There could be some cultural significance, or perhaps it's an album that became a defining moment in an artist's career. Maybe it completely encapsulates an entire genre, or it could stand out because it defies any kind of easy classification. Basically, there's a je ne sais quoi kind of vibe, and there will be a particular quality that makes it stand the test of time. That's one of the reasons it's hard to pick out the real classic albums right away, as they often take 10 or 20 years to really prove themselves. Individually, our favourite sessions tend to be the albums we might not know that well, so we always try to pick stuff that's a bit off the beaten track. Having an open mind is key to getting the most out of the vinyl sessions. It can be great to hear stuff you already love on the big PA, and you'll hear layers and details you never knew existed. But nothing beats experiencing something new and brilliant for the first time.
You're listening to the Colchester Arts Centre podcast. There we go. Where were we? No, I'm all right. I've got about 6 or 7 minutes before I'm next on. Then another whole 2 lines. Don't know, some bloke talking about his records. I never listen to the content. I'm just the anonymous continuity person.
I mean, it's not even as if I'm able to comment like the chap on Love Island. Well, folks, that was a bit highbrow, wasn't it? Shame they don't do subtitles for radio. And now for the cinema roundup. No, I'd get sacked for that. And humble though it be, this is work. I should be grateful. Oh, come on, none of us expected to be doing this at this point in our careers, did we? We were destined for great things, they said. Rosalind, Viola, Joan and Hedda, where are you now? Oh, you don't know you're born. At least you're on the telly. As Constantine said, there's no such thing as small parts, only small actors. Someone has to push the gurney. Why not someone who's been properly trained in mime, fencing and... Oh, do you remember that class? The Eloquent Eyebrow. Ah, you get to go to the award ceremonies. Even if you're the one still left on the stairs, at least you get recognised in little. No, there's no creativity. No improv, no accents, no character development. Just read what's on the card, love. Do it like that one off the Marks and Spencer's ad. I know. D'Avola did so well for herself. Didn't even go to drama school. Ah, but she is regional. That's the thing these days. You've got to be young and sound like you're off your head on something, or regional. Preferably both. All those years spent taking the Romford out of the girl. Well, of course I could do a Romford accent, but they also want authentic. And even if I'm from Romford, if I've gone RP, then I'm a traitor to the cause and it's no good. Well, you're much better off. You're always much more common than me. Nope, no car, no dressing room, no headshot in the lobby, no biog on the website. I haven't even been to Anthony Roberts' house. Oh, that's the red light flashing on my other phone. Let me just get that. It might be they want me to cover the late night weather forecast. You can only hope. Ah. Yep. Yes, you're right. The hot mic is still on. Mm-hmm. I know what that means. And now, let's return to that lovely interview with Paul Bryant.
Why do people still love vinyl? It could be for any number of reasons. Some people have never stopped loving vinyl. It was often the way they first discovered and consumed music up until the 80s. Music was a key part of identifying who you were, and choosing the right vinyl album would be another way of identifying your music credentials. Some got into vinyl when it fell out of fashion, as it became an easy way to discover new music. Vinyl collections were being given away in the wake of new CD releases, and secondhand vinyl is still a great way to uncover hidden gems. The more modern vinyl resurgence could be a bit of kickback against the music streaming services. Audio quality is poorer and often compressed to optimise it for internet speeds, and it's so easy to find almost anything, it's practically a disposable commodity. In the pre-internet era, a new album would be purchased and pored over. Reading the liner notes and examining the artwork was almost ritualistic. In the digital era, the physical act of dropping the needle and then flipping the record after 20 minutes or so forces you to slow down and focus, and the artwork looks so much better on a vinyl sleeve compared to a tiny thumbnail on a screen. Finally, some music just sounds better on vinyl. For anything pre-80s, the production was optimised for the vinyl listening experience. And when record labels digitised their archives onto CD, it wasn't always given the same care and attention. That doesn't mean everything is better. There are plenty of shoddy original pressings on flimsy vinyl with poor production values. But nothing compares to that rich warmth of a well-put-together vinyl album, especially when we can play it on a great sound system like the Art Centre's.
Thank you. last interview was with Paul Butler, not Paul Bryant, as our rather hapless continuity announcer said. Between you and me, if her mother wasn't Anthony's accountant's best friend, I don't think we'd keep her on. I mean, she's rarely in before lunchtimes most days. Always a problem with the bus, or she had to wait for a parcel delivery. To be honest, I don't think she can be bothered. It's only the reduced rate staff tickets for the beer festival that keeps her here. Anyway, I'll do this last announcement, so at least it'll be done properly. So this is the Chris Allard Quartet, who will be appearing at the Colchester Arts Centre at the end of September. Oh, God. Anyone know of a continuity announcer looking for a new job? Wanting to work long hours in a small room? Minimum wage? Don't even have to get in until lunchtime most days.